Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. It's Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a great call for you. The audio quality on today's call may be a little bit garbled. We noticed it at the top of the call, so go ahead. We tried calling back in and it didn't resolve the problem, so we're going to proceed forward. So I apologize if the quality of the call is not as good today. And today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of notes from today's call. By the way, if you do, if there are any ideas that I'm sharing today that you missed for whatever reason because of the garbled quality, go ahead and post a message at Facebook group and let me know that. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rickc@ericlofholm.com. And a great place to entering the call is out on our Facebook group. So go out to Facebook, look for the Sales Technology Training Program group, and go ahead and like and add a comment on the pinned post there today. And then as we go through the call today, feel free to share your takeaways. Now, you can also access the audio recordings of the calls out on our Facebook page. Simply go to salestechsys.com/stp-archives. Now, the technology training program is a 90-day program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And there are 12 modules of content. One quick announcement to dive in. I wanted to get a heads up to mark in your calendar. I'm going to be hosting a three-hour virtual immersion workshop on Friday, August 1st. And I'll be sharing the details out on social media and through email over the next couple of days. But you can block that time out on your calendar, Friday, August 1st from 9 a.m. Pacific to 12 p.m. Pacific. So I encourage you to block the time on the call and join me for that. Oops, you know what? I'm getting a message here from Susan saying she couldn't find the email. And you are correct. I forgot to send the email out today. I apologize for that. I guess I will send out a reminder email later on with the recording for today's call once I have it put up. So I apologize for that, Susan. The date or the calls are always on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. The phone number is always the same, at least since they've last been on us. But it's been the same for about the last 2 months now. I encourage you to add it to your calendar and add the phone number. Not only that, but you can also find I set up a Facebook event, invite everybody to it, and find the phone number on the pinned post out on the info group as well. So we've got three different ways to get it. So when one else, we still have two that kick in to work for us. Awesome. Roy said, Rick's hour event, August 1st, not a three-day, it's a three-hour event. Kind of reminds me of Gilligan Island when they go out on the three-hour tour, three-hour virtual immersion, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific. Lori Whaley is on the call today and says, hi, Rick. And she sounds a bit raspy. Yes, at the beginning of the call, I mentioned that today's call is a bit garbled. Hang up and call back in. I tried calling back in four more times, and each time the line sounded garbled. So it may be on their on the phone service end that it's kind of messed up. So I apologize for that. I'll try to speak slowly so that in case it's difficult to understand me, that'll be a little bit easier. At least that's my hope. Then let's see. Okay, so let's go ahead into our content for today. Today we're going to talk about webinars, teleseminars, and hangouts. And, of course, what all three of these comment is that they are all events. So event marketing is it's an interesting idea. It's a powerful concept. It's a powerful way of creating value for people. In live events, like, you know, where you go to a hotel or something like that, they can be very transformational, and even virtual events can be transformational as well. And here's the thing. If you are looking for ways to get more clients or customers, if you're looking for ways to generate more or increase your revenue and your income, then you might want to consider doing some events, because events can be a very effective in you know, for one, it's a technology tool. It allows you to create leverage. And so if you're just trying to generate sales one at a time, then it allows you to only reach so many people. By leveraging technology, you can reach more people. And not only that, but you can also record it and make that recording available too. So there are all sorts of ways to leverage webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts. Now, one of my mentors when I started my business was Michael Port. Michael Port is the author of Booked Solid and Beyond Booked Solid. And Michael also taught a course that I went through. I had the opportunity to work with him. And the idea is that Michael shares in his book, and by the way, if you don't know Michael Port's story, it's kind of interesting. He was actually a television star on a soap opera. And so, you know, for many years, he was an actor. And so instead of continuing his career as an actor, he actually broke out from that and decided to become an entrepreneur. And you know, specialized in working with coaches and others. So it's kind of interesting, his background. And you know, one of the ideas that Michael shared, he said, always have something that you can invite people to. And it's an interesting idea, because what he says is that people love to be invited to events. They love to be involved in exclusive things. So some of the things you should do should be public, that everybody knows that it's out there, and other things should just be for a limited clientele. In fact, that triggered another idea in terms of what Michael shares. Michael talks about the concept of the red velvet rope policy. What he says is, if you go to an exclusive nightclub, then it's very likely that when you walk up there, you're probably going to encounter a boxer. A bouncer. Sorry, I'm a little bit off today. Maybe it's the gling. So you'll encounter a bouncer. And basically what their role is to prevent folks from just walking in, because they don't allow just anyone into an exclusive club. What they do is they limit to come in. And so at the top of the list then are, you know, young, beautiful people. And so they will open up the red velvet rope and let them in. And so they're constantly getting the percentage of people there and making sure they've got a good mix of who's in there. And, of course, they may have people on a VIP list that they let in as well. And so what Michael suggests is that you do something similar for your business. And I've heard about this concept a number of different people, and this is not – this is not so much tied into our topic today, but I think it's relevant in terms of those who are interested in positioning themselves as an expert. You can be instantly available to everyone who wants you to be available to them, if that makes sense. You have to be selective about who you work with and who you reach out to and who you communicate with. And okay, that's harder than ever to do today than it was in the past. It used to be in the past that, you know, for instance, you know, if people wanted to reach you, they'd have the phone and call you. Well, now, in addition to, you know, the phone, we also have to deal with email and social media. And so more and more, we are all instantly accessible. And that's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing for a communication standpoint, but it starts breaking down the boundaries that we have. In fact, in some of my social media programs, I teach about setting boundaries around using social media. Red velvet rope policy is kind of interesting, because for some of the events that you can do it for a limited clientele. You don't have to invite everybody to it. And by the way, even if you're doing something exclusive, you can let other people know that you're doing something exclusive, but not that they're invited. And that sounds maybe mean or something like that, but there are ways to do that effectively. You could say something like, I'm hosting a VIP day for my clients coming up on such and such date. I'm looking to working with all exclusive VIP, blah, blah, blah. That would just be an example. And so what that lets people know is that there are different levels of working with you, that not everybody gets instant access to you and access to you in all the same ways. So that might be a big idea for you. So when you're doing events, then you want to think, is this an event for the general public, or is this a more exclusive event doing? So why host events? Well, first of all, I think events are important because, for the most part, you can get some undivided attention. The other thing is, if an event is constructed well, then it's going to do a mix of adding value, but then also leading people to a next step in working with you. and it's a proven system and a strategy for generating sales. So people who host webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts generate sales from doing that. And they do that because they have a powerful presentation they've created, and they share that information, and they get a result from it. Now, you can't expect that when you start off that you're going to get the same results yourself. Even if you have a presentation, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to convert. And one of the reasons is because you might be an unknown entity. People might not know who you are. And obviously, the more people participating then, the more credibility that adds. So, and because of the nature of social media days, oftentimes when people are doing events, then you can spot who's participating, and you get a sense of how many people are, you know, being reached and are interacting with. So what's the order and the sequence to developing an event? Well, I think it starts with figuring out what it is that you want to accomplish from the event. Like sometimes I'll just do events because I want to increase visibility. That's looking at reaching a larger number of people, or I'm looking at reactivating an audience. And so I'm looking for ways to get in front of them, get them engaging, get them interact. And so I might pick a topic that has broader appeal, like something like social media. Other times I might be hosting webinars specifically because I'm trying to meet my sales goal. And so I have a particular result that I want to achieve, and I know once I can do it is by hosting a webinar. By the way, while we're going through content today, I want to encourage you to join me out on our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. And let's set a comment for today's call of 50. So 50 comments. And I'll pop out there a little bit. So as you're developing your event, then you might want to make a list of the things that you're going to need. So let's just run through a few things that you might need on your webinar. First of all, you might want to have a PowerPoint presentation. So doing a webinar specifically, then you want to have some kind of video component of what you can share. Now, oftentimes when I'm doing webinars, I do a combination of PowerPoint slides and also live demonstration. So I'm demonstrating techniques. I'm showing people what I'm doing, and that gives me an opportunity to, create more value for them in the process. You need a method for people to register and a means of confirming details. And there might be a next, like maybe they register, but then they need to go and register through GoToWebinar or something else like that as well. So there might be a two-step registration process. So you need to understand what's involved there. Then you have the promotion. Do you have the registration process in place? You need to promote the event. And that might be a period of days, weeks, or months. Now, what kind of technologies do you have related to a webinar, a teleseminar, or a Google Hangout? Well, teleseminars are the simplest to do. And all you need is basically a phone. Of course, you'll also need a bridge line. And a bridge line is a technology where it allows people, multiple people, to get onto a phone, just like we're doing for today's call. And the presenter can either have all the participants on the phone muted, or they can bring people onto the line to share, or in some cases give people an opportunity to raise their hand if they have a question via the phone. And one thing that's about some of the conference bridge line tools is that they have an online board. You can go into your browser and then the web page, and then it will show you who's on the call. And that's what I utilize. I have a dashboard for mine so I can see who's on the call, which is helpful. Now, for webinars, typically you need a PowerPoint presentation or a presentation from a Mac computer, and you also need the webinar software. So that's an online service that you would use for webinars. And there are multiple types of web events. You have services like join.me. You can go in and just send out a link to people and they can just click and go in and view your screen. Or services like GoToWebinar where they register and then they're sent their information on how to access the webinar that's unique to them. And then and you can even set up reminder emails as well. And then finally, Google Hangouts. So a Google Hangout is a service offered by Google. Google has multiple technologies at its disposal that ties into the Hangouts. Google owns YouTube, and so a Google Hangout can be broadcast through YouTube and then saved out on YouTube to view. And it can all be shared through Google Plus. And there's a small version of a Google Hangout, and then there's the bigger Google Hangout online where you can literally broadcast the video signal out for people to watch the Hangout. Now, part of the Google Hangout online is that it creates more visibility for the audience among itself. In other words, people will be able to see who's on the webinar, whereas on a regular webinar, people don't know who else is on there, whereas on a Google Hangout, people can know who else is on there. And in some cases, they can bring in interaction from people having them display, broadcast themselves, their own video, and having that recorded on the Hangout. Now, let's talk about planning a webinar. If you want to do a webinar, what are the steps to actually implement? I gave you a couple of ideas to start with just a few minutes ago, but let me give you a detailed list here. First of all, determine your outcomes. What is the reason you're doing a webinar? Number two, identify the offer. And actually, the offer, when you're determining your outcomes, you want to fit in with the offer because you might start and say, okay, what is it that I'm offering? And get clear on that. And then what are the outcomes? So it may be once you identify the offer, then you determine what you want to accomplish from that. And obviously, one of the outcomes, if you are delivering or sharing an offer for some a paid product or service or program, then would be a sales goal. How do you want to sell? And that also gives you a sense of how many you're actually going to need to register. Or you have a certain number registered of what your expected result based on past percentages or closing ratios. Now, you also want to select your topic. What is the topic for your webinar? And again, this can apply to teleseminars and also to Google Hangout well. And so the most common format is where you would be the presenter, you would be sharing the information and ideas, and at the end you would make your offer. But there are other types of presentations that you can do. You could do an interview format where you have one other person and either you interview them or they interview you. But also do more of a panel interview. You have a number of different people, and then so you kind of rotate back and forth and interview each person. A panel interview doesn't work so well as far as, leading to a specific offer. Just the nature of the panel interview, you're jumping back and forth. It doesn't really lend itself to people, wanting to, be able to just share, say multiple offers from each speakers and have people purchase something, unless over a longer time frame. Create a compelling title. So in addition to just the topic that you're talking about, you want to have a title. You want to have a key, memorable title. Then create an outline. Before you take time to write things out in detail, you want to have an outline to work from. And you can always go back and refresh that line and add more to it as time goes on if you don't have enough content. Then create the script. So in many cases, you may want to write out a word-for-word script that you can use. In some cases, you may want to script out just portions of it. Create a set of point slides. A slide should contain a brief amount of information. The experts say you should have no more than 10 words on a slide. And some might say that's still too much. Or that if you're going to have bullets, you don't have more than 4 bullet points, for instance. then schedule an event using the webinar software. So if you have some webinar tool like GoToWebinar, then you can go in, schedule the event, pick the date and the time. And that will lead you to getting the registration information. Now, you can also market, and you're going to need to market and promote your webinar. You need to get the word out there. Spread the word, reach people, communicate, get them interested in it, and also get them sharing, too. You can have people share out on social media, or you can send an email and encourage people to forward that on to others as well. All right, let me share a few tips. We're going to switch gears and check out on Facebook in a few minutes, but let me just do a quick check to see where we are on our goal. So our comment goal today is 50, and it looks like we are up to 20, so we're about 50% of the way there. So we're right on track time-wise on getting to our goal. So great job. I'll pop out there and read some more of the comments a little bit later. All right, so let me share some tips on using teleseminar. So first of all, let me share a flow with you that I learned from Eric Lofholm about developing presentations, and I think it works very well in terms of creating a high-level outline for your presentation. And the format is intro, outcomes, chunk two, chunk three, call to action. So what that allows you to do then is to, first of all, develop the introduction to your teleseminar, and that's where you're going to talk to them about what it is that you're going to be communicating during the teleseminar. You want to really grab their attention from the outset so that they will want to continue listening to your teleseminar. In the intro, you also want to be able to tell your story. You want to share enough information about yourself that people connected to you. Because when it comes time, end of the teleseminar, for you to make an offer for people to go out and purchase something, then if they feel like they trust you, remember, people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. So if you don't have that trust factor in place, then that reduces the likelihood that they're going to purchase. And I have often, when I'm listening to presentations, that first listen in, then I often come to the presentation a little bit skeptical about the person and what they have to share. And once they start talking and telling their story, then suddenly I feel a little bit of a shift in mind. I feel a shift. And that shift is then that I think more favorably of them. And the story that you tell about yourself and about your life is very important. And you should have some emotional connection in the story, too. I was listening to a web event one time. And the person who was talking, she was talking about some of the things she had done, her accomplishments, and things like that. And then she had said there was a period of time where she got sick. And she was sick for like years or something like that. And it basically took her out of everything that she was doing and just reached this point where all she could do was basically take care of herself and get healthy. And what's interesting is when she said that, then immediately, I just got this kind of different perspective of her and this place that she was coming from. And so it's kind of interesting. You want to think about what things that you can do to get people connected to you emotionally. And sometimes an emotional story like that can be very effective. Now, how and when do you use a Google Hangout? Well, I'm going to ask one of our students here who I know is on the call today to post a few ideas out in the Facebook group. Susan Joy Schlieff is a visual marketing expert. She's a member of the program, and Susan is planning an upcoming Google Hangout. So, Susan, if you can share ideas about what you've learned about Google Hangout, any other resources that you have, or one resource to share everything, but if you have one resource to share, that would be great. But let me give you my opinions here. Number one, the larger learning curve on doing a Google Hangout than a webinar, and there's a larger learning curve in doing webinar than doing a teleseminar. So if you were just starting off, the path that I would suggest that you follow is do seminars first, do webinars next, and then do Google Hangouts third. Because if you try to do a Google Hangout as your first presentation and you're not used to doing presentations, then the technology itself might overwhelm you. And if you haven't already developed the skills on number one on how to multitask, like oftentimes when I'm doing a presentation, I'm having to troubleshoot problems. And so I have to be able to think, to talk, and to do all the time. And that can be challenging. And so you have to kind of master the basics first before you move on to the advanced level. So just be aware of that. And I've also found that Google Hangouts tends to be a little bit buggy at times. And I was watching a Google Hangout one time with Alex Mandosian. And Alex, there was a point in the Google Hangout where Alex disappeared for about 5 minutes. So that would be a cure for most presentations. But what happened was immediately when he disappeared, a second presenter came on and started talking. And so they didn't miss a beat. So obviously they've done this before. It had happened. And they realized they needed a backup plan. Like if Alex drops out, then, you know, so-and-so has to step in and lead the presentation so Alex can come back. So that's something to think about. You typically don't have to worry about with teleseminars and webinars. I've rarely seen happen where, you know, just suddenly a teleseminar is up or a webinar shuts down. So, but that doesn't happen with Google Hangouts. And again, it's because broadcasting live video. So I have to think about the more data that you're pushing through the pipe or pushing the internet at a given time, the more likely there are to be problems. You know, teleseminars are simple. It uses the phones very reliable. Webinars are very effective. Google Hangouts, kind of at the extreme. So just be aware of that. All right, let me talk some tips to be able to get other people to share your events. Because here's the thing. When you do your events, you want to get other people engaged in sharing and letting other people know about the events. And the reason you want to do that is that that allows you to reach a new audience. And it's easy for people to do, share events all the time. And so you have to be deliberate and intentional about asking other people for help during events. And you have to make it easy. You have to get your set up out on Facebook, for instance, create a Facebook event and then share it. If you don't know how to create a Facebook event, go out to the page of Facebook, click on the events button. That'll take you to a page with all the upcoming events. And in the upper right corner, you should have a button to create an event. Click on that, fill out the details, save it or submit it, and they're ready to roll. With a Facebook event, you also have the option to add an image in. So you have a Facebook event cover image that you can add. And that just gives kind of a visual event for your event. You should also send email reminders at your events. You should send announcements to people who haven't registered yet. And then for people who have registered, you should send reminders that the event is coming up because people might. All right, let's go pop over into the Facebook group and we'll see who's posting out there today. Okay, let's see. Roy said, supplement your public events with private exclusive events. Absolutely. Lori said, boxers are like bouncers. Yeah, exactly. Roy said, figure out what you want to accomplish from the event. Figure out what your outcomes are. What are your goals for individual event? Angie Berg is on the call today, and she said, what do you want to accomplish from the event? What results are you looking for? Roy said, for a webinar, you will often want to prepare a PowerPoint presentation at a time. Yeah, that's a good idea. And it doesn't have to be too far in advance, but, you know, you want to be, in fact, a good idea would be to at least create the draft of it and then go later and fill in more details. It's tough to sit down and create a PowerPoint presentation from scratch, all in completion in you know, a couple of hours or in a day. So if you have a chance to work on some of it and then come back later and add more, that makes it easier as well. Roy said, Google Hangout displays who's on. Yes, oftentimes you can see little thumbnail images or live video from other people, and the presenter can select. They can select somebody to bring out and display them on video. And by the way, that's a way to get to publicity. You could be on a Hangout, and they could ask for volunteers to share an idea. And then you could say yes, and then instantly be on a Hangout and, you know, be able to share a quick idea. Just don't dominate and know that they have an agenda of what they're trying to go through. They're just asking for, like, a short share. Keep it short. Roy said, Google Hangout. Oh, I already read that one. Susan said, I think it's actually called Google Hangouts on Air, not online. Ah, yeah, I think it's called GHO. So Google Hangout on, okay, good. Update my notes. Google Hangout on Air. Got it. Okay. And she said, webinars identify your outcomes, and but create a creative title, have an outline to work from. Excellent. Recap. Rory said, create an outline and a script, create slides, schedule your event using webinar software. And, you know, by the way, for the webinar software, for GoToWebinar, one of the things, like, there are a lot of different alternatives that are out there, some of them less expensive. One of the things I like about GoToWebinar is that you can set multiple types of reminders. You can have a confirmation that message that goes out through GoToWebinar, and then you can have a message that goes out 1 week before, 2 days before, a day before, or the day of. You know, so you can adjust when certain messages go out and even have a message afterwards. And you can even include links in there too, links out to your website or to go watch a video, something else. So don't forget to make use of the messages. You might want to see what's available in the system that you're using. Go to Webinar. It does a really good job of that. So it's kind of like an autoresponder, by the way. Okay, let's see. Roy said, outline, intro, outcomes, chunk 1, 2, 3, call to action. And says, story and intro can build trust. And he says, Google Hangouts is still getting prime time for enterprise-level quality. Yeah, they're not there yet. Andberg said, teleseminars are a good way to start out. Webinars are effective. Google Hangouts require more tech-savvy experience, support, all of the above. Susan said, offhand, I don't have any resources to share because most of the studying I've been doing is paid training. But personally, I don't think to do Google Hangouts on Air would be that much harder to learn than GoToWebinar. It does require a more stable internet connection, but I used to find all the time that GoToWebinars because my internet connection was not strong enough. Yeah, you know, when I went to join Alex Mandosian's Google Hangout, I had a hard time figuring out where to go. They didn't have... There's not like GoToWebinar, it sends you an email, here's the link to join the webinar, and you click it and you join the webinar. With Google Hangouts, it was like totally different because it was like I got an email and said, you know, click here to visit our Google Plus page. And so I went to a Google Plus page, and I looked all over, and then it said, click here, watch the live streaming video. And I clicked there and went out to another page, and I think still one more step before I could get to the place where I needed to go actually watch the video. And so it took me like 10 minutes to even find out how to get onto the Google Hangout to watch it. So I think one of the things you have to do is you have to realize that your audience is probably not as educated as you are. And so think about the experience from their perspective and then write up a list of instructions of what to do and also what to do if they figure it out. And like if you're doing it through Google Plus as well, it's probably a good idea to have a second person monitoring and responding to messages. Because, see, when you're leading the webinar, you don't want to be the primary person that's having to check and respond to people. Like sometimes doing a webinar, I get a Facebook message from somebody who says, I'm trying on the webinar, I can't get access to it. And so I have to, like, quickly type a message, sorry, leading the webinar. I mean, it's not a whole lot that I can do. I don't have a backup person. So, but if you can have somebody available like that, then that can be beneficial. Angie says, engage other people to share your events. Helps you reach a new audience. Yeah, and by the way, you know, one of the things that I do on a proactive basis all the time, is I reach out to other people and I ask them, do you have any events coming up that I can share? So I just naturally reach to people on a regular basis. Here's the thing. If you want to do events, then you have to be in a place where you're open to doing joint ventures and supporting people on social media and through email. Because you're just going to rely on yourself to get the word out. You're probably not going to reach as many people as you could otherwise, unless you just have an email list. So in order to reach more people, then you need to rely on others. You need to ask others. But in order to ask for help, you need to be helping other people. And so most people want the benefit of a joint venture or other people helping them and supporting them, but many people don't want to do the work supporting other people. Number one, they don't know how to. Number two, it's time-consuming and other things that are a priority. So you have to be proactive, and you have to make it a priority to help other people. And then at some point, then you may reach out to them and ask for their help. So I would suggest starting to reach out to others and ask them, hey, do you have an event that's coming that I can share on my Facebook page? Look for people who are doing events on a regular basis. Compile a list of people. Angie said, email announcements and reminders before the event. Absolutely. Susan said, here are a couple of Google Plus communities with info, including Hangouts, John Marketing from Zane Miller, one of my go-to efforts, and YouTube, Hangout, and Google Plus Marketing. Excellent. Thanks for sharing that, Susan. One other thing that I found is that for Google Hangouts in particular, you're probably going to need some more advanced equipment. When I tried to do Google Hangouts off my old laptop, it doesn't work effectively. The video is very choppy. And so if you want better video, then you're probably going to need a better computer. So that's something to keep in mind. You need a good computer, a current computer, because computers these days are optimized more for video. They're just designed. Like, you know, computers 3 or 4 years ago, people weren't doing video as much, like broadcasting or live streaming video off the internet. I mean, it was out there, but not as many people were doing it. And so as the technology changes, then the hardware manufacturer to make the computers better to be able to support that. And then the other thing is you need a fast internet connection. Susan pointed out the issues with that, you know, when doing webinars. So test out your connection. Check with your provider. See if you can upgrade your connection. One of the things that I discovered, I was just talking to my provider for my personal internet connection at home, and I was noticing that my speeds were really slow on the Wi-Fi connection. And one of the things that the tech told me was that your connection through Wi-Fi is always going to be slower than if you're hardwired in the router. And he said, like for my system, I should be getting 50 megabits per second. And for Wi-Fi, I was getting somewhere in the range of about 5 megabits per second. And he said, you should really be getting about 20, but you certainly wouldn't be getting to see through the connection. And I said, well, let me try to hardwire in off laptop and see what the connection comes out. And I tested it. I tested the connection through my laptop first, and I was, I think, about 8. And when I tested it out, I got 7. When I hardwired it in through the Ethernet cable, I got 57, just say 7. So that's a pretty big difference. So that's something to think about, is if you're going to a Google Hangout, it might be a good idea, instead of doing Wi-Fi, of actually hardwiring into your internet connection. It could be a big difference there. All right. Let's see. Susan says, the registration link for my upcoming Hangout. Perfect. Thanks for sharing that, Susan. That's going to be, let's see, she doesn't have the date, but let me click on it and I can pull it up here. Wednesday, July 30th. Perfect. 7 a.m. Central. All right. Susan says, seen it abbreviated as G-H-O-A. I've also seen some people recently refer to it as a Hanginar. Hanginar. All right, that's kind of interesting. But also realize, I think on the Google Hangouts, people are also expecting more of a connection. So like a webinar, people come to it and just listen in. Google Hangout, people want to be more heard and participated, or feel like they're participating or engaging or acting. So see if you can do some things that create more interaction through that. And you should certainly be having a conversation through Google Plus. So you need to figure out where is that conversation going to happen. How is it going to happen? Are you going to read those posts? Is somebody going to compile them for you? Think about how to create the interaction. Like for calls, I just do it through the Facebook group. We have a private book group just for members. I create a pinned post following a best practice I learned from Eric Lofholm, who learned it from Joseph. He probably learned it from somebody else. So, we have strategies to create engagement. And so you would want to do the same thing with Google Hangout. Susan says, good point, Rick, about not knowing where to participate in a Google or in a Hangout on air. That's easier if you use an add-on tool like WebJam or Easy Webinar. So that's a good thing Susan's mentioning is that there are other tools that are available that tie into Google Hangouts as well. So it's not just the Google Hangout through Google. There are other tools and components that can layer in on top of that. Roy said having a backup person when possible is good for managing tech support as well as screening questions. Susan said, definitely always a help to admin help during a webinar or hangout. Lori said, have a support person to respond during the event. Angie said, joint venture, be proactive in helping others. Yep. Susan said, help other people promote their events so eventually they'll be willing to help you promote yours. Right. And Susan said, Rick, I don't think the computer affects the recording because that is done online, but you could definitely need a good internet connection, especially the upload speed. Yes, the upload speed would be key there as your video needs to be uploaded and transmitted through the internet, and so that would affect that piece. But even when you're in a Hangout, you're going to see other people, if you have other people live on the Google Hangout with you, like presenters and others. And so if somebody's talking, then you're going to be watching video two of them. And so your download's going to be important there to be able to bring that video in so you actually, hear what they're saying and listen in well. And I don't know what the best practice is for Google Hangouts. Comment on this, Susan, as to whether they recommend calling on the phone. In most cases, when I've done the Hangouts individual with a small group, it seems to just use the microphone and speakers. But I'm wondering if the best practice or whether you recommend using the phone with that or what you've heard. Said, you just nailed the main concern, Rick. Your upload speed needs to be, I think, at least 5. Wow. All right. Angie said, Google Hangout more interactive. Roy said, strategies to create engagement. See, participation depends on how big the audience is. With 10 people or less, you can bring them onto a Hangout Live to ask questions over their mic. A large audience, the chat is available just like during the webinar, and you can still use Facebook group discussion as well. So it sounds like having people on video together, is it only an option on the smaller ones? It seems like on the bigger ones, they would want to do that too, like other people join in. Because I've seen this happen like on the news. I think like on news shows they've used Hangouts. And so they've got a million people, participating on the Hangout. And they want to be able to pull a couple out and bring them live on the video on the news. I said, no, the recommendation is to use computer mic. Critical to have a headset for your audio. Otherwise, you can get feedback from the other speakers. That's a good point because since you're actually talking and listening in some cases, if you have an open mic on your desk, then the sound coming out of the speakers could end up echoing and reverberating and getting real annoying. And so you want a headset on. So then you end up there are headsets and then there are low-key headsets. So, headset might be, something that sits on top of your head, has kind of big, speakers that fit around yours. But they also make some, from what I've seen, that are real low key. There are some that are designed to where you can literally, they have really small speakers that fit into your ear, and then you drape it, instead of draping it on your head, actually kind of, go behind your back, lay on your shoulders, and then the wire would come down from there. it's barely visible. So that requires a little bit of an investment to get the right technology so that you look professional on the video. So that's another condition to keep in mind with Google Hangouts. But that's a good point around that if you're stuck with using speakers rather than a phone or something else like that. So Susan said, no, you can still have participation with a large audience, but 10 people can participate live. Ah, interesting. So there's a magic number with 10. Is that you can have the large audience, but you can only have 10 participating at once. So that's another piece is to understand how to select which 10 people to participate. If you can take one person off and add another person on, and that's, again, where it's to have somebody else that's involved in helping you. I think one difference with the Google Hangouts, like in most cases, you can be very comfortable doing a teleseminar or a webinar one person, whereas if you're doing a Google Hangout, it almost requires having a second person there for sure. And so that's either the expense of having an employee or hiring a virtual assistant or somebody else who can help, or just a joint venture partner who wants to jump in and participate and help as well, which a lot of people do it. All right. We're getting close to the top of the hour. I think we're going to wrap here in about 2 minutes. Let me just take a look at where we are. 50 comments. All right. We hit our goal right money, so great job. Share a couple final ideas here. So what I want you to think about is it's not so much really which type of presentation you're doing. It's the concept of embracing event marketing. And not doing it once, but doing it on an ongoing basis. So there's a mindset, an approach, a strategy around doing events. And I encourage you to think about doing events on a basis. I've had periods of time where I've done, you know, a couple live events per week. I'm doing teleseminars, webinars, and everything else. And it can get a little bit busy doing that. I'm not doing many right now, but I'm planning to ramp up a little bit more as I into the fall. So you want to think about what you'd be doing and what you need to be working on. And here's the thing. You can also repurpose your content. So you could do a teleseminar, and you could take the content and you could turn it into a webinar. And you could take that webinar and then you could turn it into a Google Hangout. So you can take and repurpose that content and make use of it again and again to be able to improve your results. All right, let me go out to the page to read any final comments, then we'll go ahead and wrap up. Susan said you can use a headset with a mic, or just a headset with a separate mic, like a Blue Yeti or Snowball that sits on your desk. Interesting. Susan said you can kick people off after they ask a question and then bring someone else on live. Live participants must have a Google Plus account and they should headset because of the speaker feedback I mentioned. Interesting. Good. Well, Susan is a wealth of information on the topic. I want to encourage you to check out her upcoming webinar that she's doing on July 30th. She included a link in the group there. Let me pull up the topic title again. It's Time to Stop Ignoring Video and Plan Video Marketing Strategy. So if you're looking for some more advanced strategies here, I definitely recommend that you check out Susan's webinar to learn more, because Susan's been investing a lot of energy around visual marketing and presentations. She's an expert in the area of PowerPoint presentations, so she's got a lot of information that she can do on this topic. So thanks, everyone, for joining in today. Have a great week, and God bless.